America's democracy hangs in the balance. While you're tuned into politics, Greer McVeigh, host of the Capital G podcast, will help you make sense of the news of the day and, more importantly, understand how what goes on in our nation's capital is important to you and your family. Greer shares insights and opinions in the lead up to the election, and then will help guide you through the anticipated aftermath and into the next administration. That's politics with a capital G.
Hello, and welcome to the Capital G podcast. I'm your host, Greer McVeigh. And today is a big day in news, but then what day hasn't been over the last 7 years? Yeah, certainly since I started this podcast. There have been so many big days in news that, you know, you just can't keep up. So all you can do is jump in there when there's some news and then and report it and then keep moving forward. So today, well, let's just talk for quickly about all the various things that there are, but we do have a special surprise in store for you. But one of the biggest stories this week has been the settlement in the defamation case against Fox News by Dominion Voting System. So Dominion sued Fox News for all the lies that they helped propagate about the 2020 election. But in addition to Dominion, there's Smartmatic, which is just behind, which is another voting system company. And then there are individuals who are like named in these lawsuits, such as Rudy Giuliani and the Mr. Pillow or the My Pillow guy. What is his name? Mike Lindell, who had a whole bad week in and of itself, because he was silly enough to promise $5 million to whoever could debunk his evidence that the 2020 election was stolen in favor of Donald Trump. And what's sort of interesting about it is I don't know that he said to the first person who can debunk it or to anybody who could debunk it, in which case multiple people could have debunked it. So, but one guy did and claimed it. And then it of course, Lindell, Mr. Pillow was like, I'm not paying you. I was just, you know, I don't know, talking trash. And it's like, well, no, you said it publicly. I want my money. Went to arbitration, and then now he was ordered to pay. So in addition to having to pay this $5 million to this guy, you know, he's also on the hook for, you know, by Dominion and Smartmatic, and, you know, Fox News will probably sue him, you know, for their little bit of money back. So lawsuits are flying fast and furious in the 2020, which we're now like, as a matter of fact, Joe Biden is going to announce his run for re-election next week. That's the reporting now, is it next week he's going to announce his run for president. So for 2024. So we're like looking forward, and these people are still arguing that Donald Trump won or Joe Biden didn't win. I don't know. I guess they're arguing both. You know, Trump has even said, you know, if we win the next time, or, you know, whatever. So they are back and forth about, you know, what they believe, who the current president is. You know, I can see who's flying on Air Force One and who's flying on the old Trump plane, but that's a different issue. So anyway, so all those things are going on. The Trump lawsuits, speaking of lawsuits flying fast and furious, the Trump lawsuits are, you know, he was indicted on the first one, the Stormy Daniels one, but we're seeing lots of progress on the lawsuits in Georgia. Fannie Willis, the DA down there, who's bringing the Fulton County DA, who's I shouldn't say she's bringing charges, but she's investigating and has impaneled a grand jury who came back and said multiple people should be indicted. And she's not quite ready to file the charges, but it looks like charges are imminent. We just don't know against whom. But apparently this last week, she has gone back to the judge and said, hey, the lawyers for some of the people that are caught up in this, you know, in this quagmire, is ultimately what it is. But the people who are caught up in the fake elector scheme, right? Because this is like a multi-part thing. I'm not going to get into it right now. We'll save it because, again, I've got some special just ahead. But one of the aspects of Trump's conspiracy, alleged conspiracy down in Georgia to steal the election was not only him calling up Raffensperger, the Secretary of State, and saying, hey, why don't you find me 11,780 votes? But they had this whole fake elector scheme where they were going to get these people to pretend to be electors, to be confusing to Mike Pence. So when they went on January 6th, he'd have a pretext or justification to throw out the real electors, which are, you know, as a whole, like, constitutional thing, but he's going to throw them out and then bring in these fake people. And oh my gosh, it's so confusing. We got to send it back to the states. And so anyway, some of the people who were caught up in that fake elector portion of the scheme were offered immunity for their testimony. And apparently their lawyer didn't convey that offer, which is a big deal. And maybe we'll find out a little bit about that in a minute. But, you know, I'm going to leave that. But if your lawyer doesn't tell you that you have this offer of immunity, which is a big deal, then you talk or you don't talk or you whatever it is that, you know, you act based on what you believe the situation to be. That is like no bueno for the lawyer. So Fannie Willis has gone to the judge and said, hey, this lawyer over here did not convey this information to their clients. Therefore, they need to be removed from the case. So there's a whole new level of drama going on down in Georgia. But the other lawsuits, the classified documents of Mar-a-Lago, and then now we've got the E. Jean Carroll case where she accused Donald Trump of rape. He said she was a liar. And then she's claimed, you know, she filed a defamation case. So people getting defamed, it seems to be happening all over the place. So one of the things we're going to do today is, and here's our big secret, is I have a guest speaker on the show, which is, I believe, the first time I've had a guest speaker. I've had a couple others who were lined up to appear and then for one reason or another didn't, but it's apropos of everything that this speaker that is gonna come on today is doing so. And we're gonna talk about the sort of number one thing that we're gonna talk about is defamation and what does it mean and how does that work? We're talking about it specifically in terms of the Dominion and Fox case, but you know, maybe we can get a little bit of information about this whole defamation thing with the E. Jean Carroll case when she said basically Donald Trump defamed her when he called her a liar. And it's like, okay, you know, that's, you can't call somebody a liar. So it's like, what does that even mean? So all that said, today's big number, just to get back around to that. So all those things are going on in the news. But today we're going to focus on the Fox settlement. The big number is $787,500,000. That was the dollar amount of the settlement of Dominion and Fox News. So Dominion was suing Fox News for defamation They were suing for, I think, $1.6 billion, basically because Fox News defamed them, and in so doing, you know, obviously ruined their reputation and caused them damages, and they wanted their money back. Now, of course, people are fit to be tied because Dominion got a settlement, right? Which, okay, fine. But they did not, Fox did not have to admit that they lied or admit guilt or anything. And so people feel a particular sense of dissatisfaction about that. That said, there's another voting company, Smartmatic, that has a similar lawsuit that's pending. And Smartmatic is now saying, no, we're going to hold out for the apology. So we'll see how that all goes. So what I want to do is to introduce our guest today. And the guest, Whitney Wiley, happens to be not only an attorney who's going to talk to us about defamation, but she also is my co-host on another podcast that we do called Life, Lemons, and Lemon Drops. So this particular episode of Capital G is going to have a, for lack of a better term, a part two, which is going to be us talking about it on Life, Lemons, and Lemon Drops, the lemon drop, you know, the lemon drop of it all. It's like when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade, or in our case, you make lemon drops. So we're going to look at, on that program, we're going to look at the positive that's come out. Presumably the positive is for Dominion, but maybe, you know, maybe there's other positives. Maybe there's positive for Fox News too. We'll talk about that later. So for now, let's dive into this Dominion case, the settlement, and what exactly is defamation. So Whitney, welcome to the Capital Hi, G Greer. Podcast. How
well,
are
thank
you?
Thank you. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well,
I'm fabulous. How are you?
What was that?
I said, I'm fabulous. How are you?
Well, I know you're fabulous. You're always fabulous. And I am great. So in the lead up to this and the introduction, I talked a little bit about this lawsuit. And I'm going to go back a little bit more to just sort of lay out the lawsuit itself, what transpired and how we got where we are. So we had an election in 2020, in November of 2020, and Donald Trump lost for president, and Donald Trump lost. In the lead up to the election, he and his team started laying the groundwork for the election being stolen or rigged or somehow inappropriate. So they were doing this, I think, as far back as like June. I think there's some reporting out about how far in advance they were laying the groundwork for what was ultimately going to be accusations of a rigged election.
The election happened. If he lost.
If he lost.
Right. It would not have been a rigged election.
That's not necessary. I'm actually going to push back a little bit.
Okay.
Because in 2016, when he won, he still said that it was a rigged election. They actually even created a commission to look at stolen vote. And if you recall, at that point, it was, you know, there were dead people voting. There were 3,000, you know, people were bused to vote in the wrong precincts, and people voted illegally. And there were like these 3 million votes that Hillary shouldn't have gotten or whatever. So there was all this talk, which, you know, so one would argue, and I'm sure books will be written, you know, books have been written. I'm sure, like, the definitive book will be written about the Donald Trump presidency or the Donald Trump political career that started, I mean, it started way back, right? He's been floating the idea of running for president for two decades. Then he got to the whole quote unquote birtherism, and Obama was not, born in America, is ineligible to run. Then he got into the race. And then at some point, the notion of lies, and people would argue or wonder, why did he lie about things that are so demonstrably false, right? Why would he lie about the number of people who were at his inauguration, for example? You know, we're looking at the pictures, we see a half empty field, right? Obama had more people at his inauguration than Trump did. Okay, whatever. You know, Obama's win was historic and it was a different thing, and, you know, and it is what it is. But rather than just let that be, he lied about it and lied and lied and lied. New York Times, I believe the last number I saw, was in the range of 30,000 proven lies. And one could argue that part of the reason that the lies were told, silly lies, small lies, big lies, you know, meandering lies, you know, but part of it was to desensitize us to the lying, to get us to question what is truth. And as part of a bigger campaign toward whatever the ends are, authoritarianism or fascism or what, ultimately, I don't think anybody knows what is the final goal. But telling these lies and lying about 2016 when he did win is something that happened for no good reason, because it's like, well, you won. Now I think we can start to see, you know, that yes, he did say, if I lose, you know, we'll decide. If I lose, you know, it's rigged, because there's no way I can lose, in spite of the fact that, you know, we had COVID raging, you know, raging across the globe and across the United States, and him saying it was a hoax, and, you know, the economy was, there were a lot of reasons that people would not vote for him. But in his mind, or in his world, the only reason that he might have lost is because the election was rigged. So he talked about, he built up this rigged election before the election. Once he lost, then it was, I've lost, and I lost because it was rigged, right? And
except that he never said he lost.
Well, in public, in private, well, he actually,
that part is true too.
There was some admission that it's like, he's like, I can't believe I lost to this guy. And part of the way that he was able to do it was, and we knew this to be the case, particularly because of COVID, people were voting, you know, using absentee ballots or drop-in voting, you know, and all this other stuff. So we knew there was going to be this red, what did they call it? A red mirage and the blue, you know, whatever, where it was going to appear that he won based on the day of the vote, right? The election day, more people, more Trump voters showed up to vote in person that day. But they still had to count all the mail-in ballots and absentee ballots. So it looked sort of like Trump, you know, like he was ahead, until you started counting all these other votes. And then his lead lessened and lessened and lessened until it became clear that Biden won. So Trump sort of took that, which we all knew in advance, and I reported on here on Capital G, but we took all that was coming, and we knew it. And then he took that moment to say, see, they've stolen it. And then he proceeded from November through January 6th, when that final certification was to take place. And during that time, during that interregnum, he basically spent all the time talking lawsuits and all this stuff talking about it was rigged. Dominion voting, Smartmatic voting machines were, they were rigged. They were programmed to do things. They were flipping votes and all this stuff. So not only did Trump's people, his team, sort of do this, mostly though, it was his team of lawyer, quote unquote, and I say lawyers in air quotes, in part because I think all of them, or most of them, have lost their law licenses. But it was, you know, Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell and Jenna Ellis and all these other people who went on, you know, a cross-country tour and appeared on TV every single chance they got to talk about how the election was stolen. And they kept saying, and the Dominion voting machine, the Dominion machines are rigged. They were this, they were that. Dominion, for its part, on thousands of occasions, reached out to Fox News, reached out to the various entities, and they're like, this is not true. You need to stop. They didn't. Ultimately, I guess, Dominion, it's like, you know, there have been other elections. We want to use, we're selling our voting systems. And people are like, we're not using a Dominion machine because their reputation is now so in the toilet. So they sued. They tried to get them to cease and desist. They tried to get them to course correct. They tried to, you know, do what they could. They sued. And now it's wound its way through court with judges each step of the way granting them, you know, various, I don't know what you call them, you can tell me, but various permissions to introduce stuff in the evidence or compelling certain people to talk or to testify or whatever. We finally get to the point where we're ready for a trial. And literally on the day that they impaneled the jury, and on the day that we were to hear opening statements, there was a settlement for $787.5 million. So, with that now all as the backdrop, what does it mean to be defamed?
So defamation shows up in two ways. It shows up in libel and slander. One is publication of the lie, the untruth, in a written form, and one is publication in a verbal form. Publication just means that it's communicated to a third person. So, for example, if I were to have a conversation with you and I would say, Greer, you're a liar, or Greer, you have killed, you know, 2,000 dogs and cats, and you're just an awful person, right? That's not defamation because I'm saying that to you.
Okay. Right?
So that's between slander. You and I.
Oh, it's no, not okay. Either. So you're just saying it's it not to either. Me.
Okay. Because I'm saying it to you. Now, if I...
It's just a lie, and I'm going to punch you in the...
I would just be telling a lie, and there's okay. Nothing you could do. You can't sue me for telling you that you're an awful person.
Okay.
And because
you have freedom of speech.
Because you go around killing dogs and cats, right? That, okay. It's not a thing. But okay. If I go and tell... go stand on a street corner... And I go, Greer McVeigh, the host of the Capital G, is an awful person. She kills dogs and cats. She's killed 2,000 dogs and cats. And I stand on a street corner. That may or may not be defamation.
Right? Okay.
It may or may not be. Because not only do I have to state a falsity, right? Mm-hmm. It needs to be published, which my shouting it from the rooftops or on street corners would do that. Or if I got on social media or whatever.
And right? typed and it out. It, so, okay. So it either be slander or libel, depending on which. Okay.
So we just call it defamation. Okay. And if you are not damaged by the statement, right, the you have to have some harm caused to your reputation. So okay. if no one cares that I'm saying this, I'm standing on a street corner saying it,
shouting at the wind.
Stops, no one is listening, right? Because cars are just whizzing by and no people ever walk by. And
so I happen to be there and I hear you, but nobody else is listening.
You don't even have to be there hearing.
But I'm saying if
no one else hears.
So I know that it happened.
you could happen to hear that.
But
or
that's not a
someone
damage.
Else okay. could or someone else could hear it and you're not damaged by it. It doesn't harm your reputation because no one knows who Greer is. Right. Let's just say no one even knows who Greer is. And so there are elements. So every case that is brought, there are elements that have to be proven. And amongst them is damage. Right.
Let me ask this. And I imagine you're going to get to this. So part of it is that it has to be false. So if I really do kill dogs and cats, which, oh my God, could you have found a better example? That is just, that hurts my heart, but okay.
Exactly why I pulled that, because I know that's not something you would ever do.
But if I really did do that, then it's not anything.
If you did it, and it's and my statement is true, there's no defamation.
Even if it harms me. Now the people know that I'm a dog and a cat killer. It harms my reputation, but it's the truth. So it's not defamation.
So it could harm your reputation, but if it's the truth, that's a defense that I have, is that the statement that I published is true. Right. So you would bring a case against me.
So I would still sue you for defamation because
you can sue me,
but I would lose because I have a truth is a defense.
You would lose because I have a defense of truth. Right. Okay. Now, if you are a public figure, the bar is higher in terms of what needs to be proven. It's not just enough for it to be false, right? It needs to be with reckless disregard of the truth, right? So because people are public figures, you're allowed opinions and people go, that's why you always hear people say allegedly, right? Somebody did such and such. If you watch anybody that does commentary or on YouTube or television, they're often saying allegedly, or this is my opinion. This is why it's so important that some of the discussion in this case, the Fox News case, relies on the opinion shows as opposed to the news shows and sort of this demarcation between them, because you're allowed to have an opinion and your opinion could be wrong. Your opinion could be false. But
so when you say the defamatory statement, do you need to believe it to be true? Even if it's false, if you believe it's true, is that a defense?
It may or may not, right? So that's where the whole reckless disregard for the truth would come in. And you would have to do some work to prove that. So it's not as simple as, you know, it was false and you said it anyway. Those are things that would need to be proven in court. So, but the public figure, or in this case, news outlets, right? There's another standard, and it's called the New York Times standard, and it's from a case that was settled in 1964 in the U.S. Supreme Court. and it limits the abilities of public officials to sue for defamation, right? And so you've got these various standards that require you to prove things at a higher and higher level. And so the New York Times standard is actual malice, knowing that something was, that you actually knew it was false, or acting with a reckless disregard to whether or not it was true. And
is that, that the definition sort of malice?
Malice is actually knowing that it's true. In this case, yes. In defamation cases, yes.
So malice is knowing something to be false.
False.
But presenting it as truth.
Correct. Or acting with a reckless disregard for whether or not it's true. I, you know, you sort of, and those are on a factual basis, right? Whether or not something meets that standards on a factual basis. So in this case, what Dominion was arguing is that Fox knew that, or Fox hosts, Fox overall as an entity, and the Fox hosts knew that what they were saying was false. They were, and they therefore they were acting with actual malice.
And or so part of the way that we knew, that they knew, was one of the ways was that all the text messages and emails that got published.
Those
right?
are the things that established that.
Okay, yes. So we're seeing them.
They knew this was false, and they were saying it anyway.
Sydney Powell is coming on our show to talk about this Dominion thing. And, you know, and she's nutso and she's lying and she's got no proof and nobody believes her. But yeah, let's put her on.
And then they were putting it on under the guise that this was newsworthy.
It's newsworthy. It's like, oh my gosh, as a president or the president's lawyers that are making this argument. And that in and of itself is newsworthy, and the judge basically shot that down, though.
Yes.
So what is newsworthy versus it is, well, could one, okay, let me ask it this way. What's the difference between a lie, between the newsworthiness of the statement, right? So, because I would argue, what's newsworthy is that we have a president who's lying, right? That, or, you know, a former president.
Right, which is what other outlets, which is the tack or the position that other outlets took.
Fox
could have said that as well, right? Or they could have nuanced it, and probably in some cases they did, which is to say, you know, we don't know if this is true or not, but here's what his supporters are saying. Right. Uh-huh. Rather than sort of feeding into it. And as far as I can tell on the news, certainly the top three that have been bantied about, or top four who've been sort of top five personalities on Fox whose names have been thrown around, mostly not just bringing someone on and saying this is their position, but sort of bolstering it, or certainly suggesting that they are in agreement that that's what was happening, right? So Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, Maria Bartiromo, and Judge Jeanine Pirro, which you would think she would know better, but, you know, whatever. But having them consistently saying that the election was rigged and it was stolen in various forms. So there would be a way for them to have had those guests on their shows making those points, saying this is newsworthy in that direction without endorsing the statements. And I think that became the thing that this sort of, they're not going, oh, well, I endorse this statement, but that the fact that they continue to bring them on and reiterate what they were saying.
And sometimes they would take a step back and say, well, are you sure? Or, you know, we heard, or you said, or, you know, But other times they were like, you know, or they would be like, well, some, even I think the other day, Tucker Carlson was like, when he interviewed Trump, well, some people say that Joe Biden won, you know, and it's like, yeah, everybody in the free world, except, you know, Fox viewers say that Joe Biden won, right? So they continue to do it, but that, you know, well, we question it. And, you know, and then of course there were those instances where they did cross the line and they were like, in the Dominion sure. voting machines sure. are, you know, bad and bogus. And of course there were some Fox News people like Brett Baier, who didn't go down that road.
And that's because he's seen more as an actual journalist,
right?
An actual journalist, or his show is more of a news show rather than these other opinion shows, which is what they have hidden behind, not just in this case, but in other instances, right?
Well, they call themselves entertainment. They're like, I'm entertainment
or opinion shows. And you are allowed to have opinions, and you're even allowed to believe things that may or may not be true. But if you're going to present something, you need to make it clear that it's true or false. Right.
So what's the difference between
saying anything you want?
What's the difference between an opinion and a faulty opinion and a lie? Is it just the way you phrase it?
The way you frame it. This is my opinion. And, you know.
So my opinion is that Dominion has bogus machines.
You could say that
if they had just said
that they allegedly have bogus machines, right? And it would be harder for that's not to say that you might not still be found liable for that statement, but Dominion would have a higher bar to go to prove that. So you are allowed to have opinions, you're allowed to have faulty opinions. You're not allowed to go around saying, making false statements as statements of fact and statements of truth about people and leave it out there as if that is the case.
So let me ask this question on, you know, and I guess this is a technical legal kind of a question, but there were all these rulings in the lead up, and I did hear, in the lead up to what was going to be a trial that didn't materialize, but this notion of, you know, Dominion is going to win on the facts, or the facts have been established, so those are not in question. How do you have facts established if you haven't yet had the trial? So are the pre-trial motions part of the thing?
Yes. So the trial isn't just once the totality of the trial isn't just once the jury shows up. And okay. I am not a litigator, right? So I just want to preface this.
You're a lawyer, but not a litigator.
Okay. I am a lawyer, not a litigator. And so, that's my caveat to this. But the trial in and of itself is beginning to end. And we focus on that piece that's in court, right? The piece that includes the jury. But all the pretrial motions are a part of the process. And the judge is along the way looking at what both the plaintiff and the defense are bringing forth, saying, this is the reason that I'm bringing this lawsuit. This is my cause of action. And then the defense is saying, you need to throw this out because of XYZ, whatever the issues are. It doesn't meet the elements, right? And the elements of defamation, there are big four basic elements of defamation that I mentioned earlier. And so they would be arguing it doesn't do that. So the judge is making some, sort of pre-trial decisions with these motions that are coming. And in this particular case, the judge said that, yes, on its face, right, with prima facie on its face that Dominion has made its case that Fox has, you know, made these false statements and with reckless disregard for the truth or with actual malice, blah, 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 and had made some determination of what kinds of defenses that they wouldn't be able to make, right? And so they were going to move on. I want to say this, that the vast majority of cases never go to trial.
Isn't it like 90 something, 98%, 95%? I mean, like fast, like in the 90s,
right? It's huge.
Yeah.
Huge. 85 or so. I guess it depends on the, you know, where it type is,
of,
but
okay,
the type of case and whatnot. But 90% of cases are resolved by way of settlement, or if it is a criminal case, plea bargains and the like. And then you have this small percentage that go forth, and sometimes they'll settle in the middle of trial. Right? They'll actually be in the middle. I've served on a jury, and in the middle, they're like, okay, or in the middle of voir dire, while they're picking the jury, they will all of a sudden settle.
Which a lot of people have questioned. It's like, Fox, the damage is done, right? If the point of settling.
So yes and no, and we'll have that part of the conversation on Lemon Drops, right?
Okay.
There is a something to be said about whether or not the full damage to Fox, right? And so for those people who watch media, Fox has talked very little about the trial. Their viewers are probably not really familiar or aware that this is happening. And to the degree that they are, right, and this is not limited to Fox viewers, by the way, we tend to believe the things that bolster the opinions that and thoughts that we have, right? That it's just human nature that we are, that we're not as open-minded and self-aware as we'd like to think.
And now our media devices and outlets have allowed us
and
to customize the news.
And we seek to do that, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So they're like, well, we don't want to give you stuff you don't care
about. Yeah. We seek to do that, and now they are helping us to do that by giving us what we want, which is one of the challenges
that only reinforces
in this case,
what we believe.
Right? Yeah. Which was one of the things that was brought up in this case. And you mentioned text messages and recorded calls of Fox News personalities, is them saying they didn't want to be putting forth stuff that was contrary to what their viewers think and want to hear. They want to give their viewers what their viewers want to hear, and what their viewers
wanted to hear. You know, and maybe this is a factor, you can tell me, but the viewers were hearing what they want to hear on OAN, other networks, and InfoWars,
probably,
or whatever it is.
Without being watered down.
Yes, without being watered down. They're getting it there. And then they were like, we're going to lose our audience because they're going to go find it somewhere else. I mean, that's what they're saying behind the scenes. Was that a factor, like the money aspect, right? We're doing it for our bottom line. So we're going to feed this steady diet of lies because we'll lie to them before we let somebody else lie to them. If somebody's going to lie to them, it should be us. And we're going to get in there, deliver those lies, keep the audience, make the money. Is that a factor?
It's not a factor. That is not a thing.
Their motives for lying.
That's not a defense, right? That is
not
a defense.
It a defense, but is that a no? Was that is that in the benefit of Dominion, or is it just
certainly
irrelevant?
Certainly here, yes. Getting that in discovery, learning that, right, is okay. So, which, had it gone fully to trial before the jury and punitive damages, right? Mm-hmm. So they were suing for $1.6 billion, right? You mentioned a couple of times they settled for about half of that, yeah, right? Little under half of that, $787.5 million. They had sued for $1.6 billion. Had they this gone to the jury and punitive damages been included, the jury could have gone way above that in punitive damages, knowing mm-hmm. that not only did they have this reckless disregard for the truth, they were doing it for not noble motives, but financial ones, right? Okay. They did what they did intentionally. And so the jury could have come back and said,
so that has more to do with the damages and the punitive portion of establishing the damages than innocence or whatever.
I was not a part of their trial team, right? The lawyer team. So I don't know what their tactics were going to be and their strategy and how they were going to use this. But certainly it would seem to me that would go towards, you know, the motive behind this, and that they should be punished to send a message to others, which is what punitive damages are about, right? Really sending a message to others. You can't do this.
And apparently they're still doing it. They may now have learned, we just won't say any proper name of any of the people we're talking about, but we'll say, you know, and voting machines are corrupt, without saying Dominion.
Yeah, they can still say, and are still saying all kinds of things, but saying it in a more nuanced way so that it's not.
So as we start to wrap this up, I just want to ask, so now we're looking at Smartmatic. So a couple of things. Mm-hmm. So Smartmatic is another voting machine company. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that they were only in California, right? And part of the thing is that Fox News is like, you know, that they impacted the national election count. And they're like, we were only in, I think it was
our
like
machines
San Diego County
here,
or something.
Like in LA or something.
Yeah. They were like only in California. They're not national. So even if we had bad machines or whatever, that you've now attributed us to ruining the whole country, when California wasn't even, we're not even a swing state.
Not even an issue.
Not an issue at all in the ultimate outcome of the election. Yeah, I mean, we are, but you know, we're not a swing state. So what should we be looking for? Should we be looking for anything different, or what should we be looking for in the Smartmatic case? Or is it really literally the same case, just different company? And I want to talk a little bit about the individual lawsuits. So the Rudy Giuliani's and the Sidney Powell's that were the ones who were, you know, on the circuit making these claims, right? The thing is, yeah, some of the Fox News personalities chimed in or gave them a platform and helped spread the message, but it literally was Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell that were like, I've got the evidence, I've got the proof, I've got this. And then even they were behind the scenes saying, I don't know we don't have any proof. We don't have,
right.
Well, we're still working on it, or whatever they would say. So, two things.
Well, they are
one,
no less.
Smartmatic, and then the individual lawsuits.
So, you know, I'll confess I have not been following this as much as you have overall, but they are no less likely, no less liable than Fox News would have been, if, you know, or Fox News is, for the nature of their lies. So if there are cases that involve them as defendants, those will likely go on, or they could potentially be settled as well. My understanding about Sidney Powell as a defendant, specifically in the Fox News et al., was that she was not in that state and they could not include her. Anybody can bring a lawsuit against anybody for anything, right? Just sort of in general. But there are things that have to happen. You need to be able to establish when you file the case that you have a case. And so a judge is going to look at whether or not the elements of your cause of action actually exist. If they do, the trial can go on. If they are not, it will be dismissed. You need to establish jurisdiction, and you need to establish that people are proper to be included as defendants. And my understanding about Sidney Powell in particular is that she's in a particular state and she couldn't be included because of whatever. Maybe she doesn't have she's not barred in the particular state that this was brought in or whatever. I didn't do any research on why she was not included here, but they can certainly bring suit against her wherever she is, right? In the jurisdiction that she's in. I imagine that either they will, or maybe they're good with where they landed. I just want to say this about why would Dominion settle? Right. Mm-hmm. And there are some behind the scenes reasons that they might settle. Smartmatic might ultimately settle. Right. And if they wanted to continue with individuals, it might make sense to bring forth all the things that they've gathered through discovery against individuals, as opposed to the media, the news outlet. And it's because, and I mentioned this, the New York Times, it's New York Times versus Sullivan from 1964, that's considered settled case law, right? And so it is precedent. There are people.
So was Roe v. Wade, but that's just a.
Which is going to be my point, yeah. Which is some people don't want this settled law upset. If they would have continued this case to the end, right? And Fox News lost, and they bring an appeal, and they lose, and then they take an appeal to the Supreme Court, and it happens during a time, right? Assuming the timing is such that they can bring it while the court is still very conservative in nature, particularly with Justices Thomas and Gorsuch still on the bench, with them having indicated a willingness to look at the precedent on this, it could have overturned New York Times v. Sullivan. And changed the law on this. So there is, you know, going to a point you made about, you know, Fox News maybe winning, that could be one. And that serves a bigger purpose for people who are in this area of law. There are not a lot of defamation cases that get brought because defamation is not easy to prove. This just happened to be one of those cases where all the stars aligned, people talked.
Literally and figuratively.
And text, you know, sharing their real thoughts, right? What they knew to be the real truth.
Yeah.
And it bit them in the butt.
There's an internal employee. I can't think of her name off the top of my head.
And then there's the lawsuit with the employees.
Who's suing them. It's like, you guys told me to do this, that, and the other, and so, you know, didn't give me a chance, told me to lie and all that. And then the stakeholders, the shareholders of Fox are suing.
Because
they went down this, they went down this road. So
what I imagine will happen going forward is people won't put stuff in text messages, emails, and say it in front of other people who have their phones on record. So I could be wrong, but that's what
they keep
I'm
doing
thinking.
But so well, Whitney, thank you so much for helping to explain and help me understand, and hopefully my listeners understand, some of the technical stuff behind the settlement. I know we're going to talk about this more on Life Lemons and Lemon Drops and get to some of the, you know, what it means and who benefits and who wins and who loses. And, you know, I'd say democracy loses, but that's, you know, we'll talk about that. But this has been really enlightening. I absolutely appreciate your willingness to come on and share what you know and talk to me. And I hope you come back again too. We'll let you be our legal correspondent. And
I would love to be your legal correspondent.
Thank
you. I'm putting that on my resume.
As you should. And so but I really do appreciate your insights. And again, thank you for joining me today. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in for another episode. And that is Politics with a capital G.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Capital G. As always, you can find show and host information at capitalgpodcast.com and even more information and commentary on the Capital G blog, which you can also access through capitalgpodcast.com. If you liked what you heard, please share the show with your friends and subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast platform.